We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. All right, Romans chapter 5. I'm going to pray while you're turning there, and then we'll get into it. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this night that we can gather together. Thank you for that awesome time of worship that we can spend just glorifying you, Lord Jesus, for being the God who came and died for us, who loved us enough to do that for us. God, thank you that you chose to do something about our fallen state, God, that you chose to pull us out of it, God, that you chose to pull us out of the muck that we were in. And God, we just glorify you for that. So, Lord, I pray for this word, God. I pray that your spirit would just illuminate this passage to our hearts and minds, that you would speak to us, that we would be made more like you through it, God, and that we would just hear from you. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I remember a few years ago, it was all over the media. There were all these different mass shootings. You might remember it as well. And I don't know, maybe you've imagined how you would react if you were in that sort of situation where maybe, you know, there's someone like coming in there and there's danger. Maybe you've thought about if you would die for someone else. Maybe you've thought, I don't know. I've had this thought. All right. Like the people who I would die for though are the people that I love. Right. I would die for my family. I would die for my wife, for my kid. But God died for his enemies. Christ came and he died for his enemies. And that's the awesome difference between me and God, is God is a lot more loving than I am. God is a lot more loving than me. God loves all people, and ultimately, that love is what brought him to the cross, where his love was fully demonstrated for us. God's love is so great because he saw a broken world. He saw a broken, sinful people, and he chose to do something about it. He didn't just leave us there, but he chose to humbly be born into this world to defeat sin once and for all, so that we can have a relationship with the God who created us, with the God who made and loves us. And he did this through the cross of Christ. And so tonight in this study, we're going to see that because God loves us, he does something about the state that we were in. So I'd like to read the first five verses of chapter 5, and then we're going to have to jump back to chapter 4 real quick. So verse 1, chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us." So we're going to break these verses down, but first we got to jump back to chapter 4 and find out the context, right? Because just like last time, when you see a therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, you always got to go back and see what the word therefore is there for. So, chapter 4, we'll go back to verse 19. So, this is speaking of Abraham, and it says this: He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, which was give them a child. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised him from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So basically, it was accredited to him as righteousness that he believed God. He believed that God would fulfill his promise of giving him a child. Even when he was far past the childbearing age, he still believed. He had faith, and that faith was accredited to him as righteousness. And so not only is it for him, the righteousness by faith, but it's also for us. So as we believe God, as we believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, we are now reconciled to God. We are now justified before God, right? We are no longer enemies of God, but now we have peace with him, as verse 1 says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer the enemies of God. But as we place our faith in Christ, we are made sons and daughters of God. We are no longer enemies, but we are justified. Now, justified is a word you might hear often in church, but really, like, what does that mean? Teaching the youth, I really got to make sure I'm like breaking down these words. And when I was in Bible college, the easy definition of justified was basically we are made just as if we had never sinned before God. So now when the Father looks upon you, he doesn't see your sinfulness. He doesn't see a sinner, an enemy of him. He sees the righteousness of his Son transferred onto you. Because now it's no longer us, but it's Christ. We are made just as if we had never sinned before God. So verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now this is another one of those just big, amazing verses. You could read it and believe it, but it also, it's like, well, how do I put this in like English, right? How do I like, what does this really mean, right? So we have obtained access by faith. So there is something to be obtained if we believe. And this thing that is being obtained is the grace of God. So by faith, by believing in Christ, we now have the grace of God. And this grace is something that we should stand in. It's something that we should live in. Which means when you mess up, when you fail, when you sin, there's forgiveness, there's grace. That doesn't mean we should live in sin, but there is always grace. There's always the grace of God that we should live in. So God gives this grace freely. And then not only that, but verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Who likes suffering? Anyone here like suffering? Nah. No, definitely not. Tribulations, trials, these aren't fun things. But Paul, the writer of Romans, says we should rejoice in them. I had a really rough week, if I'm going to be honest. I felt like every little thing that could go wrong was going wrong. And I felt super snappy and short-tempered and just, it was not a good feeling, to not a good week, you know? And I think we all have those weeks, right? Or maybe I'm the only one, but... So maybe I wasn't suffering to a horrible extent, but it reminded me of this verse. Is our sufferings, these trials, these little things that keep going wrong, they're producing something in me. They're producing endurance. Well, here's the thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go to bed and be made more like Christ as we sleep?
Amen.
That's not how it works, though, is it? It takes work on our part. Now, I could let these little things that are driving me crazy, making me be a not very good husband and dad, rule me, and I could be a really miserable person to be around, or I could let God use them in my life to make me more like Christ. Right. So during these times, we pray to God. We ask God to use our trials, to use our sufferings. Some people are suffering a lot more than I was this week. And we were just praying for a few people. And God uses you and other people's trials. God uses them in your life. You see them suffering, and it can change you. We just have to let God use these trials that we're going through to make us more like Christ. Because that doesn't just happen overnight, right? There's this thing called sanctification. And sanctification is the process of being made more like Christ. We are being sanctified day by day. And that happens through the way that we live. Right, when we face trials, we persevere through them in prayer, and then that produces character. Now, whose character are we producing? Christ's. We're being made more like Christ. Christ's character is being produced in us as we persevere through them in Christ, in a Christ-like way, through prayer, through the word, through patience. Patience was something that I really had to pray for this week. And if you have a 3-year-old, which a lot of you are parents, you've had young ones, and I'm sure, you know, how old am I, 24? I'm pretty sure my mom still has to pray for patience when she's dealing with me. Pray for patience. We're producing Christ's character in ourselves. And as Christ's character is being produced in us, this produces hope, right? And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who he has given to us. So we have hope. And this hope is a hope that God will complete the work that he has started in us. So I have hope that I'm not going to have a week like this every week. Right? I have hope that one day I won't struggle with short-temperedness. I have a hope that one day I won't get super snappy for no reason, right? Because one day I will be made like Christ, and I will have eternal life with him in heaven, where I no longer will have to struggle with sin. Isn't that a great hope? Amen. And then for people who are seriously going through sufferings, there's a hope. There's a hope that that won't be forever. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. And that's a great hope to have. And how can we have this hope? We have this hope because God has given us his Spirit. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit is the proof of his love. If you ever wonder how much God loves you, God has given you his Spirit to be with you always. 24/7, never leaving. The proof is in God's love for us, because God's not okay with leaving us in sin. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all to have eternal life, right? So because God loves us, he does something about our sinful state. So let's read verses 6 through 11 now. Verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So because God loves us, he gave us his Son. Because God loves us, he gave us his Son. If you look at verse 6 through 8 again, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then it talks about, for one might die for a righteous person, one might die for a good person, but for an enemy. And that goes back to the question that I asked earlier. I wouldn't die for my enemy. There's no way. I might not even die for a righteous person. I'm a little selfish. But Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for his enemies. Now, verse 6, while we are still weak, the original Greek word here for the word weak, the original Greek for the word weak here means without strength or sluggish. And then sluggish means slow to do right or not able to do right. So while we were not able to do right, at the perfect time in human history, Christ came and he died for sinners. The word for here is a little bit different than normal. The Greek of this word is huper, which means for the sake of or in behalf of. So while we were not able to do right, Christ died in behalf of sinners. Christ died instead of sinners. And Christ died instead of you or me, right? Now, dying for someone else is shocking. That's a shocking thing. We call those people heroes. people who sacrifice themselves. And there's been a lot of that going around in media. Verse 7 says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person." Now, this would be a morally good person. This would be someone who does all the right things, but might not be the most pleasant person to be around. Or continuing on, it says, perhaps for a good person, one might consider dying. A good person is someone valuable in society's eyes. Someone who cares for other people and is generous. But either way, people are inherently selfish and would rather live, but the Lord transforms everything that we think we know. And he's completely counter to the culture. And verse 8 is proof of this. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners." This is one of my favorite verses. We weren't good people. We weren't righteous people. We were sluggish and we were not able to do anything right or pleasing to the Lord. Yet that is when Christ died for us. It was God's love for us that he gave his son. And it was purely out of his love. And love causes you to do some crazy things. And this is some crazy love. This verse is my first tattoo that I got. Yeah, I have tattoos. But I got this verse because it reminded me of how much God loves me. It reminded me to constantly surrender to the Lord. Every day that I wake up, surrender to the Lord and live my life for his glory. Because even in my darkest moment of life, when I was unable to do right, God still sent his son to die for me so that I can have a relationship with him. And that's love. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." There has to be a daily surrender to live for the Lord. Because when we don't, when we live for ourselves, that's when things can get messy, right? When we don't surrender to live for the Lord daily, selfishness and sin can creep in and it can slowly start to take control. But because God loves us, he gave us his son to free us from the grip of sin. And the demonstration of God's love is what we are to be cultivating in ourselves. Looking to that example of love and showing this kind of crazy love to other people, right? God, Jesus, calls us to love one another. And as we see, God's love is pretty crazy. It's more than saying, "I love you." It's our whole lives. It's everything that we are. It's more than just words, but it's our actions. And that's what he calls us to. But how can we, as sinful human beings, show that kind of love to other people? Well, God didn't just give us his son, but because God loves us, he gave us his spirit, the helper. Let's take a look at the second half of verse 5 again. It says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. This is so cool. God's love is being poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Now, when I read this verse, I think of a waterfall, right? When you think of a waterfall, there's water that's falling into another body of water, like Niagara Falls or Burney Falls, right? There's amazing waterfalls all over the place. But when you think of a waterfall, that's what it is, right? The thing is, the water, it just seems to never stop pouring over. There's just a constant overflow that's resulting in the water pouring over the edge into like a river or another body of water, right? And that's creating this waterfall. And then the water flows as far as it can go. If you think of a river like out to the ocean, or it just keeps flowing, keeps going. And if you think of water flowing down, that is a refreshing place to drink water, right? Because the water is constantly moving. It's cleaner than just sitting there and getting gross. But if you're going to drink water anywhere, you want to find the flowing water. And I think that that's what God's love is like in our lives, right? That's what God's love is like in our lives. God's love pours into our hearts and it overflows, resulting in rivers of living water, and it's refreshing to souls. Just come and drink, Jesus says to the woman at the well, and you will never thirst again. Through God's Holy Spirit, we receive God's overflowing love. And it's a love that satisfies our souls, and it just never stops. David Guzik says this. He says, a lack of awareness of God's love can often be credited to a failure to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in his Spirit. So I'll read that one more time. A lack of awareness of God's love can often be credited to a failure to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in his Spirit. And then he also says, everyone who is a Christian has the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian lives in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And not every Christian walks in the Spirit. So this is the challenge, right? To stay constantly filled with the fullness of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. We are called to be filled with the Spirit so that we can produce God's love, so that we can be like a waterfall flowing into other people's lives and to walk in the Spirit. But how do we do this? How do we do this? What does this even mean? Well, to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit is being complete. It's being complete. It's God's Spirit completes you. You are whole and being filled constantly with the Spirit means not restraining the Spirit from working in and through you. So do you allow the Spirit to direct you? Do you allow the Spirit to work in you and through you? This is something that we can do. It's something that we should do. And then walking by the Spirit means allowing the Spirit to lead. Where he goes, you follow. We do this by setting our minds on the things of God and not on the things of this world, but on the Lord, on heavenly things. And that's difficult sometimes, right? There's so much stuff going on in this world that I'm a very distracted person. I get distracted super easily. And I think a lot of us are like that, right? We all get distracted, but we got to focus on heavenly things, on eternal things, and not on the things of this world, which are temporary, but on God. So we also do this by seeking God first above anything else, right? We got to seek God before anything else, asking the Spirit to fill you and to guide your steps. Because the Spirit, He really does direct us. He shuts doors, He opens doors. He gives you a way out of any and every temptation. He illuminates the Word to bring understanding. And again, He fills you with God's love so that you can love others best. And He does so much more, right? That's just a few things that He does for us. But because God loves us, He gives us the Spirit. And what would the sacrifice of Christ be if there was not a new way? Something to look forward to, a hope. But because God loves us, He gives us life. He gives us life. Verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We were enemies of God. We were deserving of eternal separation from God. But because He loves us, He didn't want to allow that to happen. He didn't allow that to happen. So He gave His Son so that we could have life. Through the blood of Christ shed on the cross, we are now reconciled and justified when we call on the name of Jesus. Christ died a sinner's death, taking the world's sins upon Himself and the wrath of God along with it, yet that wasn't the end. Right? Christ rose from the grave, and now He's sitting at the Father's right hand in heaven, waiting to return to take us to be with Him. And so it's Christ that gives us life. Right? It's the promise of eternal life, new life with Christ in glory. And that's all because of God's love. He gives us eternal life, and guess what? Eternal life begins now. It doesn't happen when you die. When you give your life to Jesus, when you place your faith in Jesus, eternal life begins now. Because we are made alive. We are transformed. We are now new creatures in God. And so we no longer have to live in the old dead way, but now we live in a new way of life and of love and of goodness and peace with God. So there's a few things that we must not forget. I got four things here, just I guess a little bit of recap. But number one, we must not forget that it's all because of Jesus that we are justified or made just as if we had never sinned before God. Christ makes us clean and righteous in the sight of God. Number two, we must not forget that it's all because of God's love that He sent His Son. That's the ultimate act of love. I would not give my own life or my kid for people who hate me. But that's just how amazing the love of God is. Number three, we must not forget God's love is poured in us through His Holy Spirit. The Spirit resides in us. He guides us. He teaches us. He grows us. And so much more. do not restrain the Spirit from filling you with his fullness and keeping you and keeping in step with him. A side note, we can restrain the Spirit from working in us, right? By living selfishly, by living for ourselves, we're not allowing God to love us in the way that he intends to fill us in the ways that he intends to. So don't restrain the Spirit from filling you, from using you, from filling you with God's love. Surrender to God. Ask for forgiveness. Live for him because his way is the best way. And then four, lastly, we must not forget that because God loves us, we have life. We have life. We have real life in the present, here and now, and for eternity. And if this is the case, then we need to act like it. God's love is our life. We receive to overflow into other people's lives. So, because God loves us, he does something about it. He doesn't leave us in our sin. He doesn't allow us to continue being enemies, but he pursues us. He seeks us. He calls us. And even after you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there's a lifelong battle of seeking first the kingdom of God. This is sanctification. This is the trials, the sufferings, the tribulations that we go through that produce endurance and character and hope. Right? That's a lifelong battle. I'm not going to wake up in 30 years and be like perfect, right? No. It's a lifelong battle to be made like Christ. And so that's why God gives us his Spirit. That's one of the reasons why God gives us his Spirit. This life is hard and we need a helper. This life is discouraging. We need God's love. And this comes from the Spirit. So this week, make it a point to be filled with God's love. Seek the Lord out in prayer and allow him to fill you to fullness. And then live in that love. Live in the grace of God. Right? As verse 2 said, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So live in that grace. Live in the grace of God. Do you feel like a failure? Live in the grace of God. Did you mess up this week? Live in the grace of God. Just live in the grace of God. There's enough grace to go around, and God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we are still sinners, aren't we? He died for us. So he loves you. He wants a relationship with you, and he proved that already. So live in his grace by faith, believing his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this night. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's encouraging to us, that you speak to us through it, that it's living, it's active, it's penetrating our hearts, God. It's directly from you, God, your word. Thank you. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us because you love us, God, and so that you didn't just leave us in the sinful state that we were in, but we could have relationship with you now, that we could have life in you. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.